When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's a beautiful morning. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. And you're listening to
Breakfast with Rosie.
Next up, some smooth jazz on your drive to unemployment.
What the fuck?
I know it's mean to say you're green, but you got to leave WWE. You're not fit to be the shit, so stay at home and make my grits. That's the first verse.
If anybody's looking for a new co-host for any radio show, I'm available.
Good evening, wrestling fans, entertainment fans. This is Anthony of wrestling-news.com. I want to thank you very much for listening tonight.
Oh, how I had no idea that the wrestling world was filled with atheists. Dixie, you are forgiven.
Hi, ho, Kermit the Frog. I am the new GM for Raw. NXT! NXT! Yay!
Get the fuck out of here. Go into the TNA Impact Zone with one of those metal detector wands, and when Hogan comes out to cut his promo and he's doing the air guitar, just turn the fucking thing on. Since youngins do listen, some of your youngins out there do listen, I think it's a little bit too inappropriate to be using the word cunt on this show. People out there, remind me in a little while the word Hindu. That's how the shows go. If you're new to the show, whatever comes to my mind, that's what I say. Total Nonstop Anthony, that's what you got tonight. Total Nonstop Ant. Total Nonstop Ant. Total Nonstop Ant. I tell you, man, I know a lot of you out there have your favorite podcasters and websites that you go to, but you can't be that blind. I mean, the level of immaturity of some people as they get older is just god fucking awful. I'm on social media tonight, returning some messages before I go on my vacation, and I'm looking at, you know, some people that I follow, and, you know, I see online, and I'm like, do these people take a step back, think about their age, and ask themselves if someone else is looking at what they're writing at that particular age? I mean, you don't think you come off as a goof? Seriously, the fuck is going on with these people online? My God, just look around tonight and you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go any further and I'm not going to throw anybody specifically under the bus, but it's pretty obvious, man. The older some people get, the thinner skin that they get, the more fucking soap opera-ish that they get, you know, getting, you know, tied into fucking conversations about dopey shit. And the best is if somebody contradicts them, oh my God, they fucking take it so goddamn personal. It's almost like threatening violence. Some of the shit that I saw in the last half hour, I'm like, Jesus Christ, some people really have just totally fucked their lives. No wonder why you never see photos of them online. No wonder why you never see video or any type of fucking documentation for anything that they claim. Or they'll have fucking baby pictures or pictures from 15, 20 years ago. I mean, they have mapped out these online personas. And it's just sad. It really is. I mean, I know we all get sad and depressed when someone kills themselves because of depression, but to me, this is fucking pathetic. I mean, Jesus Christ. How's everybody doing out there? How the fuck are you all? I'm sorry about the vulgar language. I think the rest of the show, other than calling someone a barefoot pussy, I think we will be vulgar free. It is July 3rd, 2019. Welcome to this edition of Breakfast with Blasi. I am Don Tony, as always, and I'm going to let everybody know right now this show is going to be shorter than usual, and simply because in less than 12 hours, I have to be on the road. Actually, in about 10 hours, I'm going to be on the road, fucking driving and, you know, going a long distance. I will not be on next week's Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. Kev Castle will likely be going solo, unless if he needs to have a co-host, which is cool. It's just as I've prepared everybody before, if audio is shit quality on a Monday night, you will not find those shows on Pandora. Pandora has a real high standard as far as audio quality goes, and that counts for me as well. Episode 26 of This Week in Wrestling History almost didn't make Pandora this week because my mic volume was too hot. And that's always because I'm adjusting levels to compensate for other audio from other people. And it sometimes fucks up my own volume. I'm just reminding everyone, because if once in a while you see an episode, even my own, that doesn't appear on Pandora, it's not a tech support issue. It's because there was likely audio quality problems on someone's end. But anyway, I hope everybody's going to enjoy this weekend. I think tonight's episode will be a lot of fun. Before I go any further, shout out to our new and returning patrons, Amp Williams, The Derp State, Chubby Monk, Joe Gless, Garth Moore, Sith Lord Vader, Robert Younger, and Jacob Canati. Let me know, Jacob, is it Canati or Canate? I don't like making mistakes, obviously. But, SmackDown Rated came in. Now, you know, one thing that gets a little confusing sometimes is, you know, remember, we do a Tuesday show on Patreon. So we cover a lot of news that takes place between Monday night and Tuesday night, and we get into it. So I'm not going to repeat things for the most part of what we talked already about, but we were mentioning the Raw rating a little bit. And the Raw rating went up a little bit, and it's amazing. I understand the excitement out there for AEW. I understand the excitement of what Paul Heyman is going to bring to the table on Raw and what Eric Bischoff could bring to the table on SmackDown. I totally get it. I want to see wrestling better. If I fucking was fed up with wrestling, you would not hear me doing podcasts. I've been doing this for almost 23 years. I mean, almost 23 years. So obviously I'm a diehard wrestling fan to still be sticking around, and obviously because you all still support me. I mean, I'm not going to talk to nobody, but you know, you can't fucking jack off simply because you have a slight bump in the rating. Motherfucker, you had the lowest rated Raw in the history of Raw in the last couple of weeks. So what do you expect? Do you expect it to get even more record low ratings? Or do you expect a little bump? So what happens? Raw gets like a 6% bump on Monday, which is what? Think about it. They get what? About 2.5 million viewers? 10% is 250,000. A 6% bump is 120-some-odd thousand, 150,000. Even if you want to fucking exaggerate and say 200,000. Motherfucker, you got the lowest rated Raws in the history of fucking Monday Night Raw since 1993. You go up 6%, you know what that's like? That's like a fat fucking podcaster that can't show his fucking face, and he's on his scale, and for the last 2 years, ever since they had that god-awful fucking Hell in a Cell match, you know, that fucking guy goes on the scale, and his weight goes from 280, 290, 300, 320, 340, 355, and then all of a sudden, a new dietitian comes in. Actually, let's go a step further. You go 280, 290, 310, a dietitian comes in, we're going to shake your diet up. And then you go from 300 down to 298, and then 305, 310, 320. And now someone comes in, and they're going to shake it up. And you haven't even eaten your first fucking diet meal yet under the age of Dr. Heyman. And you fucking drop a pound and a half. And you turn around and you say to everybody, oh my God, I dropped a pound and a half. Oh man, that's the bump. That's because of Dr. Heyman. No, motherfucker, your weight fucking fluctuates. You want to keep going up and up and up and up and up with your weight, or you expect to go down once in a while? Case in point, Bischoff He's not starting on SmackDown right away. And as I said on yesterday's DT Casey Show Extra, I truly feel that Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff are not going to get the power that I believe that they will have, which is not going to be as much as people realize. As I said yesterday, pay very close attention that they're being cutesy with their words. Not executive producer, executive director. Now, I invite everyone out there, go on Google, go check out soap operas, entertainment, TV shows, movies, and look up executive director. Tell me what you find. Tell me what, better yet, tell me what you don't find. Because again, you know, why do you got to be cutesy with words? Why not just have full-blown as far as a particular role that actually has to do with the entertainment world? Executive director? Seriously, look that up. I know a lot of people didn't catch on to that, but I caught on to that right away. And I will reiterate what I've been saying the last 2 days. Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff, assisting with creative is better than no Heyman and no Bischoff. So they will be an asset for WWE. But as I said with Monday, you see a little bit of innuendos and nuances that might have had Paul Heyman's fingerprints on it, like everybody said. But you look at the overall product of Monday, it did not feel like Paul Heyman produced this whole show. You can, can't say produced. He's not an executive producer. He's an executive director. So what's happening? He's basically being given what is going to go down that night, and he has to direct it and make sure it goes smoothly. And seriously, I would be very, very hesitant. Well, you know, I do one better. What I always say about AEW, you got to take a wait-and-see approach. You have a bump in the rating. It's not because Heyman is there or Heyman is not there. SmackDown is a perfect example. SmackDown this week went down. Went down. All the excitement of maybe a carryover. What is Bischoff going to do to one-up one? And yes, a lot of people are aware now that Bischoff wasn't going to be running SmackDown. But like I said, too, Heyman was there on Monday. But I think after Extreme Rules is when they should actually be able to have a little bit more input. But at the end of the day, just as I figured, Vince McMahon was all over Raw. And he had the final say in everything. So think about that. The fact that WWE, up until this point, you know, Vince has the final say. Why would Vince all of a sudden feel that, oh, what Paul Heyman pitches to me is even better than what Triple H or others pitch to me? You know, if Vince still has the final say, you know, he could balk at a lot of ideas that Bischoff and Heyman do. And another thing they have to stop, they really have to stop, or turn it into a storyline for Survivor Series. They have to stop the wild card. Why would someone under Paul Heyman's regime, storyline purposes, why should that person go to SmackDown and help SmackDown? Or even better, what happens if Paul Heyman thinks that Samoa Joe should fucking be pushed to the moon? And Eric Bischoff looks at him like a fucking fat Samoan slob. You know, let him get choked out by fucking Drake Maverick. I'm not saying that that's what Samoa Joe is. And I'm not saying it's going to go to that extreme. But what Samoa Joe, or what Eric Bischoff views one particular talent, might be a lot different of what Paul Heyman views in someone as far as a talent. I think Paul Heyman would love to have Asuka on the show. I'm not saying that fucking Eric Bischoff wouldn't as well, but Paul Heyman may see more stock in Asuka than Bischoff would. And you start doing wild card things, and you think that fucking Heyman or Bischoff are going to be in charge of what wild card goes to what? No, that's WWE's decision. So that needs to stop, unless you do a storyline for Survivor Series where you have people going back and forth, or maybe you have a group of people that are going from Raw to SmackDown, and you know it leads to a storyline where they're trying to infiltrate SmackDown, or Paul Heyman is trying to do a coup. I know it sounds a little ridiculous right now. I don't work for them. I'm not writing for them. I don't get paid to do that. So I'm not going to give you the perfect scenario. That's up to them to do, just like Kofi. Kofi is fighting Samoa Joe at the next pay-per-view. The last couple of weeks, I've had a field day online podcast debating people who say, oh, Kofi facing a big man. Who would believe that? It's stupid. It doesn't make sense. And I chuckled every time somebody said that, because in the back of my mind, I knew this past week would be the anniversary of Jeff Hardy facing The Undertaker in the ladder match on Raw for the Undisputed Championship. Sure, you're not going to have chair shots like they did in that match. And if you watch the WWE version, there's some chair shots you never even knew existed because they edited it out, even though they tell you it's the full unedited match. But you have the right storyline, the right people writing it, the right people involved in the right circumstances, you can have a little man take on a big man, especially with Extreme Rules. Seriously, that is like the easiest fucking pay-per-view to do where you don't have to justify a gimmick match, because if you do too many gimmick matches, what are you going to see people say? Oh, the only way you could have Kofi Kingston defend the title against bigger men is by having stupid gimmick match. Do you fucking care? As long as you enjoy what you're watching. So I have some concerns, but I'm going to take the wait and see approach. But getting back to ratings, the SmackDown rating came in. Oh, it went down. I think the second lowest SmackDown in the history of SmackDown. What happened to all the excitement? You know what people wrote today? Well, it's closer to the four. Goofy Powell, I've been praising this guy, complimenting him. I know he doesn't care if I compliment him or diss him or anything. What are you, a fucking moron? Oh, we're getting closer to the 4th of July. Go to his website right now and look at it. We're getting closer to the 4th of July. And that's perhaps why the rating may have went down. When you read perhaps, possibly, reportedly, maybe, might, that means they don't have a fucking clue and they're just trying to guess. Just like you hear, oh, Fox reportedly possibly wants President Trump to be on the first ever SmackDown. And what are you basing it on? Yeah, reportedly, possibly. Leave those words out. Just like WWE when they do their promos, when they're feuding with people, wrestlers, leave "but" out. Oh, blah, 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 I hate them. And then the promo opens up. Blah, 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 blah is one of the greatest of all time. But, you know, Kofi, you know, you, there's no doubt for 11 years you really busted your butt and you deserve it. Is it? But, oh, you know, Roman Reigns, Shane McMahon, Roman Reigns, arguably, you know, a Hall of Famer, one of the best of in recent memory. But everything is compliment, 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 but I'm going to kill you. You know, you got a nice tie. You know, you actually dress really nice, you know, but I'm going to fucking blow your brains out. Oh, you know, you really kept yourself good. Did you lose weight? Oh, that's cool. I'm still going to slit your throat. I mean, that's another thing that shit's got to stop. Stop with the fucking idea that everybody's got to get a compliment before they're fucking stabbed in the back. I fucking hate that more than anything. And people are starting to notice it. They see it with their own eyes, but SmackDown rating goes down. What excuse is that? Oh, we need to be shoved in. Don't fucking, because you get a little bump. We're in the lowest rated Raws and SmackDowns in the history of their television shows. It's gonna go up. And when it goes up, it's like the fat guy, like I said before. No, I'm still fat. I mean, look, I lost 60 pounds, but I'm still fucking 245. I'm 6'4", but I'm 245. I still want to lose another 20 pounds. But the point is, you know, if you were 280 before and now you're 360, you know, just because you go down to 355 doesn't mean, oh, my God, you know, we got a big bump. No. Shit's going to fluctuate. You're still near the fattest you ever been in history. And you're still near the fucking lowest fucking times in history. I keep cursing. Right, I got to stop that. I promise you I'll stop that. I promise you for the rest of the show, other than one question that wanted me to, I guess he didn't hear the Super Showdown recap where I talked about Matt Riddle, about the Goldberg stuff. And you know what? I want to get into that right now. You know, we got some Patreon questions to get into today. You know what? Before I do that, I want to give a shout out to some of our associate producers of the show. Thank you for the support as always. Everyone out there, don't forget, we have patreon.com/DonTony. No, that's not an advertisement always for the shows. I spend maybe 2 minutes of every show plugging Patreon, showing appreciation for everybody who is the reason why these shows are free for everyone out there. And they're keeping the shows alive. The expense is so extraordinary that it's one of the two things. Either, you know, we have some content, you know, where you could sign up and help us, you know, with this, or we just charge everybody, subscription based, and that's it. You know, we're not doing it to spite people out there. I that's one thing that really annoys me more than anything. These names that I have been repeating for a couple of years now, you know, I'm not repeating because they give me head. I'm not repeating it because they fucking kiss my ass. I'm repeating it because they're actually helping us pay bills. Now, I'm not trying to do it as a guilt trip on anyone, but please, you know, these people you should appreciate and thank. Tyxie Bowers, Vic Condor, Garcia Kane, CM Black Pixels, Jacob Eston, Michael John Buchanan, Stell, Jerry Stewart, Johnny Marin, Michael Westfall, Brandon Foley, Chuck Lentz, Tony, Chris Harris, Keith Daugherty, John Krauser, happy birthday again, my friend, Roger Rubio, Fatty316, Stan the Man Loudon, and by the way, that's P-H-A-T-T-Y. Don Tony's political advisor, hi Anna, D-Boy Gentleman, Ernesto Defensa, Timothy Keel, Kane Shaw, Jeffrey Collins, James Mills, Cockboy, Jay Smoothie, Tom Baffa, Joseph Nikoluk, Nico Time, Michael Rhino, Paul Convoy, and Adam Des Moines. We will get into more plugs in a little bit. Okay, you know, when Super Showdown went down, we had that match between Goldberg and Undertaker. I've vented as far as my feelings about that match. I feel that the reason why The Undertaker is back right now is because you have a lot of stuff on the decline. You want to get some buzz for Extreme Rules. You want to get some people to go to these fucking shows. I mean, you know, for everybody out to say, well, it's because of the lowest ratings of all time. You seem to forget we had Kane and The Undertaker, you know, building up with DX in Saudi Arabia last year, and they were all on TV several weeks. And if I remember that time when those four almost closed out an episode of Raw, it drew the lowest rating in the history of the product, or in the top three of the lowest rating. That's Undertaker. He's on TV. He was advertised, and he still drew a pathetic rating. You think all of a sudden now, especially after Super Showdown, where both guys didn't look all that great, all of a sudden, oh, he's back because of Paparini. No, I think that Undertaker, as I've said before, is an attraction. It's definitely someone, look, if you're debating about going to a WWE event that's in your town and The Undertaker is going to appear, that may sway you to actually go. I think it's more about him being there for Extreme Rules to get people to buy tickets than ratings, than anything else. I personally feel that way. And, you know, Undertaker, I also feel is back because he wants to break this streak of god-awful matches ever since the Roman Reigns match. You know, sure, he has sparks and spurts with Elias and others where he looks unbelievable. But unfortunately, it seems like the legs are done no matter how much he tries. The hip is done. You get to a certain age, unfortunately, you know, it happens. People are mortal. You're not a fucking, you know, you're a superhero and you're an inspiration, no doubt about it. But you're not mortal. You're not immortal. You are mortal. At some point, you deteriorate. You might feel like $1 million, but what your feeling of $1 million right now, 10, 20 years ago, might have been you at 40%. I mean, how many out there that are even older than me that, you know, sometimes you have some days that you really feel good, but then when you compare it to when you were maybe 30 years old, you're like, wow, you know, if I felt this way at 30, I would have fucking felt like I needed to go to a hospital or in hospice. So I think Undertaker feels like he needs something to prove. He doesn't want the lasting impression right now is what happened with him and Goldberg. And Goldberg, the same thing. Goldberg went on Twitter today and said, and I quote, "The only thing I need to accomplish is to erase the feeling I have from my last performance." You think anybody wants to go out like that? But again, to John Santos, who asked me, you know, what are my thoughts about Matt Riddle fucking going off on Goldberg the way he did and then, you know, just taking it back. I said it on Super Showdown, and I'll up it a notch. Please, everyone, do not misconstrue what I'm saying about his attitude than his ability. He is one of the most talented wrestlers of tomorrow. He is a star. He is awesome in the ring. But honestly, you know, to me, he is a barefoot pussy. I said this on Super Showdown night. I'll say it again now. Goldberg just fucking got seriously hurt where he collapsed. And because this guy dislikes Goldberg with a passion, he fucking videotapes himself and puts it on Twitter of him laughing at that. Laughing at that. And I said, you know what? If he despises Goldberg and wants to say, see, I told you he has no business doing what he's doing, fine. You want to diss him, do whatever. But the fact that he left out all criticism of WWE just, to me, made him look like a punk. Because remember, he went off on Goldberg and said a whole bunch of shit about Goldberg. Well, guess what? Goldberg didn't fucking fly himself to Saudi Arabia and tell WWE, look, I'm main eventing against Undertaker, whether you like it or not, and I'm going to work that show because they want me to, blah, 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 blah. No, WWE put Goldberg versus Undertaker in the main event because that's what Saudi Arabia wanted, and that's what WWE thought they can get away with. And unfortunately, it didn't work. All right, but Matt Riddle, no criticism about WWE, and yes, common sense, because he works for them. But if you're going to fucking go off on that like that and make fun of and laugh about a guy who fucking got seriously injured and collapsed, and then, no, you're a fucking barefoot pussy. And honestly, I don't care who agrees with me or disagrees with me. I don't care if people think that I'm a fucking pussy. You know, I'm just giving you my opinion as far as doing that. Look, there's a lot of people that, you know, I laugh at their demise. I don't say it publicly. I fucking laugh in the privacy of my own home. I see some people out there that fucking think that there are legends and fucking superstars online, whether it's wrestling, a podcast, or even real life, politics, sports. And they're just jokes. They're just a joke. And I laugh in the privacy of my own home. But if I'm going to go public and I'm going to say something, I'm going to make sure all my bases are covered. If you're going to criticize Goldberg, Matt Riddle, you need to criticize WWE for putting him in that spot. Plain and simple. And that was what was missing, in my opinion. Now, the thing about this whole Seth Rollins, you know, apology to Will Ospreay, good, done, all over with, you know? I mean, look, they have pride for the companies they work for. I defended Seth Rollins to the moon with this. I don't think he is right 100% in the way he went about it. But you work for a company, you know, it's easy for all of us right now. As you can hear in the background, I got my air conditioner going. It's nice and cool in here, 69 degrees. I know all of you out there are listening, whether it's your iPod or your computer or whatever it is. You might have your air conditioner on as well. You're sitting on your ass. You're not wrestling on TV. It's very easy to criticize these people who play cheerleader for their employer. Whether the Seth Rollins Becky on-air storyline is god-awful or it's not, the fact is these wrestlers, whether it's AEW, soon AEW, because right now there's not much of a schedule, but WWE and other feds, these people work hundreds of days a year. They don't get the opportunity to sit in your air conditioner for 3-4 days or sit on social media all day long and all weekend long and fucking just judge everybody else. They are killing themselves, you know, pun intended. I mean, they're killing their bodies. They're busting their butts. They love what they're doing, and there's a pride. I mean, why would anybody out there want the cancer to run rampant in WWE where everybody wants out? Why would you want that? Why? Because you follow and support a different federation? Fine. But what happens when that federation starts having problems that you fucking absolutely love? And then you see other people that want to see that fucking cancer spread in the locker room where they just and how are you going to feel? These people are entertaining us, and you have to expect them to be a cheerleader, you know, for what they do. I said for a while now, I think Seth Rollins is trying to be the locker room leader of WWE, and I don't know the guy personally. He comes off as a nice guy, but, you know, why is he fucking losing it because he is addressed? Look, should he address every Tom, Dick, and Harry online? No. But the guy has a pride for what he does. You think he likes to be part of the lowest ratings of all time? And I said it. You can't blame Seth and Coffey, just like you can't blame Kevin Nash for 1995. But these people making such a huge deal about Seth Rollins and Will Ospreay, and, you know, they snapped at each other, they tweeted each other, they apologized to each other. Oh, he accepted the apology, but under one condition. Shut the fuck up, man. That's not even news. Shit. Anyway, yesterday we had a conversation on DTK's Joe Extra about Mike and Maria Kanellis. They are legitimately expecting their second child, by the way. But for people that think all of a sudden you're going to see a resurgence of Mike and Maria Kanellis on Raw, I made a bet yesterday. Now, over the next 4 Raw episodes, I believe the over and under of Mike and Maria Kanellis being on those shows is 1. A lot of people, it went right over their head on Monday. The reason why Mike and Maria Kanellis faced Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch on Raw is because they wanted a couple to battle a couple. And not just a couple, you know, that's in WWE, but a couple that is technically a heel. They wouldn't want fucking Naomi, you know, and her husband on against Seth and Becky Lynch. You wouldn't want to put Andrade and Charlotte right now because they really haven't acknowledged that on camera, especially that Zelina Vega is still the manager of Andrade. And you could go down the list. Mike and Maria Kanellis was the obvious choice. And look, Maria did nothing because she's pregnant. So they just told her, just stand at ringside and do this and that. So that's the only reason why. But right away, people are thinking, oh, big resurgence. Look, Maria obviously could cut a promo. And she's not going to be involved in the ring right now. But, hey, you know, I would love to see them on TV on a regular basis. But I'm not sure if that's actually going to happen. But congratulations on both of them expecting a second child. I tried to clear up yesterday any controversy that people were trying to speculate that Maria signed her deal knowing that she was pregnant and this and that and didn't tell WWE. I think that's just foolish. That's just ridiculous to think. Number one, you know, that's again the speculating. Once again, just like the report today, WWE is reportedly trying to get the teenage demographic back. What do you mean reportedly? Their fucking ratings are in the shitter. They're trying to get people to watch again. Plain and simple. Oh, you're trying to get teenagers. Oh, that's why we said holy shit. What do you think? The fucking holy shit comment is supposed to bring back the kids? Seriously, how dumb is that? Think about the articles you're reading today. That, oh, by saying holy shit in the middle finger, they're trying to get the teenagers back. And the funny thing is, you read those articles, what do? They write the 18 to 49 demographic. Yeah, as I opened up with the show today, yeah, there's a lot of 49-year-olds out there that talk like teenagers and act like teenagers and whine and cry like teenagers on social media. Oh, he said this about me. I'm going to fucking beat his ass. Fucking please, man, inject yourself with some fucking hormones, male hormones. Not that you have to be a man, but since I'm heterosexual, I only know heterosexual. So anyway, I know some people are like, hey, you're kind of like starting to bury yourself over here. All right, let's get into some listener questions, shall we? Uncle Cell, by the way, happy birthday to you, my friend. He is actually having his birthday tomorrow, the 4th of July. And that's actually pretty cool that you have it on the 4th. Big Sexy Jinder, do we think WWE is more racist for putting the belt on a goofball comedy character that sucks and just lives like Kofi instead of someone like Lashley, who's a real killer and a badass? No, I don't think it's racist at all. I think WWE knew very well they'd be making history with Kofi being the champion. They definitely had to do a little bit with him being black, no doubt about it. But, I mean, I said this leading up to WrestleMania. If he won the title, you know what? This is a scenario that I'm happy with. I don't have any problem with Kofi being the champion. I've went out of my way to say this repeatedly. And that's why I always say, please listen to what I say and don't bunch me in with other shows or other hosts. Listen to what I say, because I'm not going to keep trying to clarify myself because people confuse what I said with what someone else says. All right, Kofi and Seth Rollins are not to blame for the nosedive in the ratings. This is all WWE's fault. Kofi's title reign so far, Iconics, fucking Zack Ryder and the other fuck out there, who I actually like, you know, the Curt Hawkins. I mean, look at their reigns. They were pathetic. Kofi's is not pathetic, but it's very disappointing. That's not his fault. He don't come into work and say, you know, yeah, I want to take on Lashley. No. We're going to give you fucking blah, blah, blah instead. No, he's doing whatever WWE is telling him to do. He's trying to take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad. Unfortunately, R-Truth seems to be doing the best job out of everybody, but they have a job. You know, if they're put in a certain position and it's not good, I mean, unless they're executing it poorly, it's not their fault. So no, I don't think it's racist in any way that Kofi is the champion. And I don't care. If Lashley is a champion, it's because he should be champion. Not that he deserves it. Nobody really deserves a belt. You might feel that someone should have gotten it, you know, but you don't get it simply because of longevity. You get it because it's the right environment. It's the right person for the right time. I mean, you know, you had some times over the years where WWE would put belts on people to try to get them over instead of the reverse. La Resistance felt like the perfect example for me back then. But if Lashley, if it feels like he should be champion down the line, then he should be champion. I don't think it should have anything to do with his skin color. Cockboy, if I had to settle with one of the Democratic nominees, yes, not everything is wrestling, that I saw in last week's debate, which one would I choose to run the country? To run the country, Biden. Biden, not even close. Because there's too much radical shit going on. This idea of free, free, free. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. You give students fucking free fucking tuition. You write all that stuff off. You're going to see other things raise their price. You want to give free health care to everybody? You watch what fucking happens with stores. You fucking insist that everybody who works 25 hours and above has to be covered by medical insurance? Fine. You do that in a grocery store when your bagel goes from $1 to $3 and a quart of milk goes from $1 to fucking $1.99 because the milk company has to pay god-awful crazy amounts more money for insurance. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. You will pay in different ways. Nothing is free. Do I believe black people should receive reparation money? No. No. Because you can't determine, you can't take every person who's black in the world and assume that they have been abused and mistreated. And yes, a huge number are. It's a shame. But you can't turn around and you can't penalize people of today because of things that happened 200-300 years ago. I mean, it's just not possible. It's just not possible. I mean, there's a constitution, there's laws, there's a lot of things going down, you know, that you see on TV. These are just promises to try to pander to certain demographics to try to get their votes. Plain and simple. That's what it is. And I already made the prediction. You know, right now, you know, up until the recent elections, you know, oh, there's no crisis at the border. And once the fucking House was overtaken by Democrats, then all of a sudden there is a crisis. But they're not going to commit because they don't want to give Donald Trump a win. So they're going to fucking milk this and make it look like Donald Trump can't fucking do the right thing in Senate. You notice how they're not talking about fucking trying to lower the price of healthcare. You're not noticing that they want to fucking try to lower the price of prescription drugs. You don't see them talking about trying to lower gas prices. You don't see them talking about a lot of things that are still expensive in country. However, when you get closer to the election, then all of a sudden you'll see every fucking Democrat talking about those bullet points. It's to try to get votes, man. If an angel came down from heaven, chatted with me, and gave me the chance to ask about any conspiracy that I've ever heard of, and would give me the full answer of what actually happened, what would I want to unravel? I don't know, man. You want to do wrestling? You want to do real life? I mean, if we go to wrestling, I don't know. I mean, just look at the tragedies that's happened in the world of pro wrestling over the years. I mean, the Benoit murder-suicide, I think we pretty much knew it happened. I think the why factor is probably the saddest and most intriguing by a lot of people. I mean, my God, when we did that live podcast, the night of the Benoit news came out, you know, we started out the show paying tribute to Benoit. By the end of the night, we were spinning on him. You know, we were trying to speculate why he did what he did. I know family members and people who cared about Benoit want to feel that it was because of steroids and abuse on his head. He didn't know what he was doing. But at the end of the day, they don't know. They honestly don't know. You don't know. You don't know if Nancy pushed his buttons. You don't know if it was roids. You don't know if it was chair shots to the head. You have nothing. You can't blame it on anything. So I probably would want to know why. I'll keep it in the wrestling stance. Adam Freed, if it would help Raw, if a local band opened up Raw each week playing a different version of a Raw theme, nah, that's smoke and mirrors. You know, like I said yesterday, you know, skits and segments and backstage stuff is entertaining and is absolutely needed in wrestling. But there was one point yesterday where Mish, myself, and Kev were talking about Raw and SmackDown, and it seemed like we were only talking about skits and segments. And I said, you know, I don't need more skits and segments. I don't need cake and ice cream. I want good quality wrestling. And what's happening on Monday is fucking insane. the idea that singles matches turn into tag matches and two out of three falls matches, two of the pins end less than a minute. How the fuck do you think? And did you notice? I was right. I said, everyone out there, the advertisers of Raw are completely different than the advertisers of SmackDown, and the Raw advertisers, they handle it differently. That's why you got the split screen, as I predicted, it would continue on SmackDown, and you're not getting it on Raw. But this idea of no wrestling during commercial breaks, that is going to stop very, very soon. All right, trust me, people aren't changing the channel simply because the match is in progress in a commercial break. All right, they're changing the channel because they're not entertaining what they're watching. Trust me, there's been no survey where WWE has asked fans, why do you change the channel? Oh, because you have wrestling between commercial breaks. Just think about that dopey idea right off the bat. Who the fuck came up with this? They're just throwing shit on the wall right now to see what sticks, what catches on. They're trying to do this total nonstop action, pun intended. And unfortunately, it's hurting the matches dramatically. Listen to the beginning of our show for Monday. Listen to the times that I put up at the beginning. Listen to those times of those matches. That's pathetic. That's garbage. Tommy Pikeshi, which form of social media do I think is worst when it comes to trolls and people only interested in starting shit? Twitter. Absolutely Twitter. Facebook has it too, but you know, it just feels more Twitter than anything else. And it's not even just trolls, man. You know, as bad as trolls are, and as bad as people are to try to instigate shit, which people do all the time, all right, it's just as pathetic to see people out there who have lied about 90% of what they do, what they experience. Again, and I will repeat this, I've said it on blah, 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 probably more than ever on any other show. You know, everyone out there, you know, you have your friends over, you have your family over, you know, you take pictures, you know, you want to keep that memory, you know, something happens to you. I mean, some people go on a date or they get married, they take the fucking rose, they put it in the freezer. You know, you come across, you know, a cute little fucking animal or something like that, you take a picture, so cute. You know, you have a positive experience with something, you take a picture, you tell the world, you say, hey, everybody, check this out. When you see people that are doing all of that, telling you about all of these occurrences and instances, and they never post a photo, never post a video, if you would have said that in 1995 or 2002, okay, I would have said, okay, fine. But where you could fucking buy a camera phone for $10 and everybody and their mother has a camera phone and you never post anything. I mean, anybody that believes that shit, my God, seriously, they fooled you and pulled that. Why wouldn't you do that for your own, you know, keepsakes? So no, you Twitter by far is your worst fucking area. And, you know, when you see polls out there and reports, a very small percentage of people are actually on Twitter, believe it or not. Sharon Pierce, what is something from the past that's obsolete in wrestling that I would love to make prevalent again? Blood. Yeah, blood. Blood. You know, we're not playing footsie out there. This is simulated violence. And I'm sorry, you know, this idea that people have to come in and fucking stop matches and this... Nah, man. Yeah, we got teenagers watching. We can't have blood. We have kids watching. We can't have blood. Well, then you shouldn't be fucking doing pro wrestling. My God, you want to make a horror film? Yeah, but there's kids watching. We can't kill people. Well, then you don't make a fucking horror film. Blood. And Mike asked me almost the same question, but wanted me, somebody that's currently on the roster, I'd like to see a gimmick change or like to see, you know, something that they've done before. I know this is going to sound controversial and maybe a little bit, you know, just disrespectful, but I miss Slut Stephanie. I miss the, you know, the naive Slut Stephanie when she first got the boob job. Not because, you know, she's, you know, whackable right now as far as, you know, jit gel rag. She's a mom. I'm not saying her herself, but the character was awesome because Jericho's interaction with her was incredible. It was so much fun. The idea of the crowd getting so hating of her, And yeah, it's not nice to chant slut anymore. I'm not saying they have to do that. But man, talk about someone who really was not talented at all at that time and would get some of the biggest heat out there. And it wasn't that people didn't want to see her on TV, but there was just something about her that clicked with a lot of storylines. Even when, you know, Kurt Angle had to kiss with her, and then she, I got the, there was just, as far as somebody from today with a previous gimmick. And my second choice, I know a lot of people say, oh, Undertaker, America, badass or big evil. Yeah, I agree. The problem is, even if he came back in those gimmicks, he still can't do much as far as matches. You know, I mean, I bring this up once in a while. Go Google Undertaker's match history and go look at the last 10, 15 years. Count how many matches he has had in the last 10, 15 years. I don't think people realize how many years that's been going by where he wrestles under 10 matches a year. Look it up. I think people would be shocked at how many years this has been going on. So, yeah, you know, that previous gimmick would be great. He wouldn't have to leave his feet as much. It's more of a brawling game, which is perfect for him right now, but they want the nostalgia and the, you know, the aura of the dead man. Which I understand. I don't have a problem with the dead man. But there's some things he just can't do anymore. And there's got to be a little bit reinventing somewhere, in my opinion. D-Boy Gentleman, Jeffrey Collins, they both asked the same question. Nike pulled the Nike Air Max 1 because of the original American flag. They said that Kaepernick and others deemed it offensive. How's the original flag offensive? I don't know, man. You could go to any aspect of history and find racism. You go any aspect of history and find mistreatment. You can find any era in history and find abuse. You'll find, you know, horrible stuff. That doesn't mean that we didn't have good people at that time. You got to learn from history. You can't keep trying to erase it. And the idea that Betsy Ross, that fucking stitched that flag, shouldn't be on a sneaker because it's offensive. This is the problem where you let some of this in. I understand you want to be respectful and you don't want to offend anyone. But when you allow a little of this to creep in, that you're not going to do this because these people complain and these people complain, it's not always a black thing. But once you do that, you open the floodgates. That's why over the last 20 years, you started hearing that because of one fucking atheist, you know, you can't, you know, have a major, you know, certain area, a manger. Or you can't fucking say one nation under God in a public school. I mean, that's what happens. I understand everybody wants a voice. But, you know, there's never a part of our world in our history that is picture perfect. And, you know, you're always going to offend someone. I think Nike made a huge mistake over there. But honestly, I don't fucking wear Nike, so I don't give a fuck about them, to be honest with you. Paul Bielowski, if Eric Bischoff doesn't work out on SmackDown, they can have Dave Dombrowski. He sucks as GM. Okay. Who would be the better executive, Dombrowski or Dangerously? Paul Heyman. I don't think either, to be honest with you. Paul Heyman is great and creative. Management didn't work out all that well. I'll tell you one thing that nobody's talking about. How come Triple H wasn't considered as far? I mean, everybody fucking is going apeshit with compliments, fans of NXT, they are so goddamn happy what Triple H is doing with NXT. I understand when some people are going to say, no, leave him in NXT. We love it. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. I agree. I don't want to see Triple H writing for Raw or SmackDown, to be honest with you. But think about that. I know nobody's talking about, hey, how come Triple H wasn't considered? He might have been considered. Nobody seems to be talking about that, though. He was happy that Mike and Maria Bennett, or Mike Bennett, you know, I'm sorry, you know, it is Mike and Maria Bennett, but we have to go Mike and Maria Kanellis, remember. That was the storyline from the beginning. She's calling him her bitch. Well, they debuted, he was her bitch. That when he took her name in the storyline, she was wearing the pants in the family. Just some people just didn't put two and two together. Why bring up the NXT champs? Why not? Why not? And that's what Paul said, too. It's something different. Honestly, I don't know why anybody would complain. You get their feet wet. Little introduction. Let people fucking Google it. Hey, who are these guys? Again, you'd be surprised how few viewers watch NXT. Again, you also caught a lot of fucking fake people out there, podcast and website land, who say they watch NXT on a weekly basis, but then acted like they knew nothing about the Street Profits. That's how you catch fucking Fluke. You fucking reel them in. Things like that. If you fucking reel them in. Brian BK. All right, he's going to bet me. You know, I lost the bet, by the way. I was going to leave the racist stuff. Not that I was being racist or acting racist, but bringing up, you know, things with racism and stuff, you know, people with the storylines and this and that. I promised for a month I was going to leave it all out. Just like people challenged me to leave politics out, which I think I've succeeded in the past. So I lost a bet. I actually paid up for real to Brian. But he's going to give me a new bet to go without 1 month without mentioning goofy podcasters, fake personas, and using new words Mish teaches me, like trigger, dice, catfish, and others. He said he will double his Patreon donation if I win. But if I lose, he gets the rest of the year free. Dude, I can't take that bet. Not that I'm fearing of losing, but Brian, look at my Twitter right now. Look at how many people in the last week or two went out of their way to thank me for leaving all the fake, god-awful bullshit news that places are reporting. I did not want to talk about all these ridiculous reports that Shane McMahon might be Kofi Kingston for the heavyweight title, and people were getting triggered. I'm like, but you don't even know if that's even true. And I purposely avoided that on the show, and yeah, it ended up getting brought up anyway, but notice how many things I never bring on the show because it's just not believable, it's not credible, it's not valid, and it's hunches, guesses, fears, and that's not what I'm about. I do research. I do have some connections in some areas. You know, that should be a requirement when you're a journalist or you opine or you report or you have a podcast or a website. You should have that. When you see podcasters fucking taking a tweet that's written by fucking Joe Jabroni, that fucking writes something, and then it's reported as news, and you don't even check it. That's pathetic. I can honestly say, this is not patting myself on the back. I will almost challenge anyone. I will fucking, in fact, I'll make this challenge right now. I will give anybody out there a free fucking shirt. Any podcaster they want, any wrestling organization that they want. If you could find me three things that I have reported on the show over the last 5 years that turned out to be untrue. Again, reported. Not, remember, I do opinion. My shows are opinion shows. So, but when you see this god-awful bullshit news, I don't bring it up. But a lot of other people are, oh, why didn't you talk about this? Why didn't you bring up this? Well, why didn't I bring it up? Because those are fucking goofs writing and saying that stuff. I have to bring that to the table. I have to keep pointing that out. The more I point it out, the more people are becoming aware of the god-awful shit that's out there. So with framing it, you know, it actually will hurt the listeners, because if there's a lot of bullshit out there and people are believing it, you know, think about everybody that's listening. If they see a story that's out there and people are really believing that story to be true or possibly true, and I know that it's not only bullshit, but someone just trying to get hits. I can't call those people out for what they are. So, Brian, I'll be more than happy that you could challenge me, maybe with vulgarity. You know, go 2 weeks with no curse words at all. I know some of you out there will hate that, but I'm for those challenges. But I got to call people out like I see it. And you know what? Call me out when you feel necessary. I always say, you know, if I could give it to people, I better be able to take the criticism as well. And I don't mind people telling me, dude, you know, that's fucked up what you said, or that's wrong. You shouldn't have said that. Yeah, I do regret some of the things I say on my shows. And never hold back, man. I truly believe this. Maybe Jason, is the exception, and Mish is one of the most likable people. Actually, you know what? Almost everybody is, to be honest with you. But I feel that I am one of the most approachable people out there. You could fucking give it to me, and you rarely ever see me say, oh, I don't even know if I've ever said to anyone, I'll fucking, how do you feel if I show up at your house? And you say that to my face. Seriously. I mean, if you go personal, it's different. But have you ever? No. So many people have called me out on things. When I was fucking Lucky 13, WrestleMania weekend, when we all got together, Mish, Joey, John, and myself, people came up to me and said to me, dude, I fucking love you. I love your show. You've helped me through a lot of stuff. But sometimes where you fucking do those impersonations or, you know, get a little bit too personal, I can't stand it. They had the balls to tell me to my face. I apologize. I shook their hand. They understood that it's not done with malice, but they fucking had the balls to tell me. I have more respect for people who are brutally honest and tell me to my face or to just be straight out with shit than fucking hide and lie. I hate that, man. That's why I always feel like I gotta back up when I make claims online. I always feel I gotta prove myself. And, you know, because I see the level of fake out there. It is an epidemic, Brian. It's an epidemic. You'd be shocked of how many people that you follow online when you don't ever see photo or video proof or anything like that, but yet you hear story after story after story and claim after claim after claim, they're Forrest Gumps. That should be a red flag right there. Gumps. Now, here's a little twisted question. Andrew 914, do I predict that when Don Morocco dies, that both news and some wrestling websites will automatically confuse him with The Rock and give The Rock more attention? You know what, Andrew? Number one, I hope Don Morocco doesn't pass away for a very, very, very long time. It's my top five favorites of all time. Seriously. Fucking so pissed off. For two decades, WWE has not shown more love to that guy. More respect for that guy's career. You know, it's once in a blue moon you hear something, they mention his name. When they mention his name, it's like, holy shit, they mentioned his name? But, yeah, I do believe some clickbait will write, The Rock passed away. Holy shit, that'll be a fucking number one Google search. They'll be on the fucking first page. You know people are going to do that. And then you'll click on, oh, yeah, The Rock, Don Morocco. Of course. There's going to be some schmucks that do that. And again, usually those schmucks, you won't see a photo. You won't see a singular person. You'll see nothing about that person. They'll hide behind a website name, or they'll hide behind old pictures or nicknames and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm Don Tony, but everybody knows I'm Anthony DeBlasi as well. I have current stuff about me online. I'm not a complete open book. I don't think anybody should be a complete open book. But, yeah, there's a lot of fucking fake out there. Also, was Don Morocco the first wrestler to eat a meatball sandwich and Bastion Booger eating ice cream during a match? You know what? As far as me as a wrestling fan, first time I saw it when I was a fan as a kid, see Morocco with the Hero, I'm sure Albano at some point had to be ingesting something at ringside. But Morocco's was great. I mean, having the meatball sub in one hand and beating the fuck out of his opponent in the other, that was great. I tell you one thing. I'll twist this a little bit. I know it sounds corny and ridiculous, but I'm a little surprised we don't have bottled water at ringside for wrestlers. Why is it so unmanly for a wrestler who can't fucking just take a chug of water when they are at ringside? You're fucking wrestling a 30, 40-minute match? You mean to tell me that, oh my God, he took a chug of water at ringside, that belittles the person? My God, you talk about wellness and health. I don't know how much wellness it is to be performing in that kind of heat and that kind of environment for 20, 30, 40 an hour, and you're not even allowed a slug of water. I'm a little surprised you haven't seen water used more often. Yeah, you got Alexa with the cup of coffee thing, but still, I'm a little surprised. I think, you know, water should be something that is available. I mean, look at all of the other sports, tennis players, you know, baseball players, designated hitters. All they got to do is go out, hit a ball, and go back, sit in the dugout for fucking 8 innings or whatever it is, 9 innings. They always got water. Everybody's got water, except for wrestlers. Why? Anyway, before we wrap this up, got a little more. Billy Taylor, Hassan Al-Hashmi, Brent Webster, Aaron Kloss, Out in the Here, Anthony Smith, James Gruesome, Mark Israel, Bob O'Mac, CJ Uihara, Crestman, James Deal, Switch Babe, Courtney Summers, Diogo Nobre, John Coffey, Tim Everhart, Andrew 914, Donald J. Trump, Russell Zavala, Merle Coombs Jr., Douglas McKay, Keith Lee, James Farmer, John Garcia, Mad Dog No Good, Larry Trailer, Tommy Piketty, Chris Lumna, Zach Spudamore, Rich Maharg, Julian LeBlanc, Big Red Brandon Rice, Spider Lewin, the Metaphor Isaac Fox, Carl Buteau, a.k.a. Cheese and Rice, Rob McKay, Brian Byrne, Daniel Warren, Michael Cuomo. Thank you to all friends. They are our patrons, associate producers, sponsors, our Texas Podcast Massacre. Just awesome content, man. You people out there don't know what you're missing. And it's free. YouTube, man. You got to just watch one of their podcasts. You will be so entertained. Just the way they go about it. And I kind of equate it to rock reviews. They just do it in the music scene, more the rock of yesteryear. Shoot the Defense, great soccer podcast, Stell. Everybody overseas seems to enjoy his podcast tremendously. If you're a soccer fan, you got to check it out. Follow him on Twitter, at Shoot the Defense. DJ Dells, he's got his sneaker podcast. Hey, everybody with the Nike stuff. You got to go check him out on YouTube. The Sneaker Addict, I'm sure he's going to be talking about it. Elman Shah, really, really talented artist. He has a lot of pop culture that is on metal. It's like frames, artwork. I actually have bought some of his artwork. And once we start doing video, because Mish and I are going to start blowing out video within a month, we are going to start doing video podcast. So definitely look out for it. Mish and I are looking to expand. Because remember, I always remind everyone, I know we have the DTKC Wrestling Soup family here, but we're not married to each other. So you're going to see some outside projects involving some of us that you would not normally see. Some of it is going to have zero to do with wrestling, and it's going to be different things. We're looking forward to it, and Mish and I are just really anxious to start doing the video. I mean, we're in 2019. You have to progress and evolve and improve, not take step backs because of fear or laziness or anything like that, especially at my age, man. You know, I'm doing this for so long. I have to enjoy what I'm doing. And I have to have you enjoy what I'm doing. And, you know, I have to also make it perfectly clear. Not everything is going to be video, and there'll always be an audio option. Not everybody wants to watch video. You know, not everybody wants to eat up data on video. So, no, when we do video stuff, there'll always be an audio option, I promise. SubZeroComics.com for all your wrestling, comic book, and pop culture collectible needs. Christ in the Toyverse, Bob O'Mac. Great podcast as well on YouTube, Undercover Capes. Reviews collectibles, bobbleheads. Did an awesome review of my bobblehead. Got to go check it out. You will laugh your ass off, especially since I hate the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I couldn't stand them when Donatello. I swear to God, if I would have saw a turtle walking down the street, I would have looked at it and called, "Hey, Donatello," even though it's a real, and I would have fucking ran him over with my car. Your Best Bargains, not really, but Your Best Bargains LLC for your, I might buy a stuffed animal of a turtle and set it on fire. Your Best Bargains LLC, got an Amazon and an eBay store. Mike is very good people, and I am a customer of his. He's got everyday stuff, some unique stuff. Just search him out, Your Best Bargains LLC. And last but not least, on eBay, Raul Romo. He's got a wrestling store on eBay, Raul Romo's House of Cards. If you're into packs, maybe you're trying to build a set, you need an individual card. He's got tons and tons of shit up there. And he's sent me some really awesome stuff in the past. He's a really good guy. Definitely support him. Everybody I mentioned, you really need to support him. Seriously. Kyle Kazmarski. What do I like to put on hamburgers and hot dogs since it's the 4th of July? Burgers, bacon, and cheese. Bacon cheeseburgers all day long. Hot dogs, just mustard. When I was young, I used to love ketchup on hot dog. I don't want to use this analogy. I know it's bad, forgive me, but it's probably the best analogy I can make. You know, some people, when they're young, you know, they're heterosexual, And then they start maybe finding out that maybe they're not heterosexual or they're experimenting, and they go from heterosexual to bisexual. And then they may go from bisexual to, you know, straight homosexual. One of my closest friends, that's exactly what happened to him. Back in the day, he dated this girl for 4 years. We thought they were going to get married. Next thing we knew, he was dating a girl, but also going with a guy on the side. And then about 20 years ago, he realized that he's homosexual, not interested in women at all. So he went from heterosexual to bisexual to homosexual. I did that with hot dogs. I went from ketchup only to ketchup and mustard and then mustard. Swear to God. I know it's a bad analogy, but that's what happens in my dopey head. Do I like barbecue sauce? If so, what's my favorite brand? Right now, because I'm on keto, I could only have barbecue sauce with no sugar. There are some diabetic versions on Amazon that aren't bad. I've experimented with a couple of places. And, you know, you got to look at the reviews. Because, trust me, for people that aren't on a diet, they'll taste it. They'll be like, oh, this is horrible. But, you know, in my case, I actually enjoy some of it. So right now, asking me about barbecue sauce is a mistake because most barbecue sauce has corn syrup or sugar in it. And I am staying clear away from it. It's amazing. It's March 25th, I believe, is when I started the dieting. I'm down 60 pounds. I haven't had a plate of pasta. I haven't had sugar. I haven't had bread, potato, rice since then. I mean, it's been rough, but I don't crave it no more. I mean, dieting is not easy, man. If it was easy, I wouldn't have had this weight on me, you know, that I don't have on me anymore. But I wouldn't have been, you know, the weight I was up until recently. I would have lost that shit 20 years ago. It's not easy, man. But I finally got into the frame of mind. And believe me, I tell you, I tell this to people. Going to Lucky 13 was part of it. Doing video podcasting is part of it. My health, obviously, was part of it, too. You know, getting engaged. I don't want to look like a fat fuck in my wedding pictures. There's a lot of reasons why I finally said, you know what, I got to do this. And that's why I made it so public. Because once you make it public, you feel like you're obligated, you know, to back it up. You know, I'm not going to make a claim out there and then not back it up with something. So, you know, I kind of put myself in that position, but I'm happy with it. It was a challenge. You know, look, it's a bad example, but I always mention it once in a while. Not always, but it doesn't even make sense. I always mention it once in a while. It sounds like a Yogi Berra thing, right? Did I just make a yogiism? I always mention it once in a while. Everybody, please, you got to credit me for that. I always mention it. Something. I always mention something once in a while. I'm going to Google that phrase later. If nobody created that, I just created my own Dantonism. I always mention things once in a while. Awesome. But look, Axel Rotten, God rest his soul, became friendly with him a little bit. Threw the Mass Maniac, obviously. But we would do podcasts with him on the Maniac show. And at least 2-3 times, he wanted to proclaim to the world that he was drug-free. And we were so happy for him. He was one of the nicest fucking guys I ever met in wrestling. And after doing that 2 or 3 times, and then other people saying that he's not clean, he just felt like he was. That was his idea of, once I make it public that I'm clean, then I have to be clean. And sometimes you try to convince yourself. There have been some people in wrestling, male and female, who have died over the years. I'm not talking about suicide. I'm talking about drug overdoses, that they will post videos proclaiming how sober they are and clean and they want to help others, this and that. And it's because they just want that perception out there that they are. But meanwhile, as soon as the video camera goes off, they're ingesting something. It's fucking sad. It really is. And trust me, I could have done the same thing with food. I could have proclaimed the diet and then not post any photos. And meanwhile, I'm heavier than what I was before. After the Lashley Strowman Spear Pyro explosion, it seemed like WWE is slowly bringing back Pyro. Why would you say that? Because of one moment? I think Pyro would be great. I mean, you know, it's obviously a little bit of a fire risk, and it is an expense, and I don't know how many people that would watch wrestling simply because you have pyro on a particular episode, But you know what? It's okay. Which WWE men and women superstars do I think would benefit having pyro during the entrances? Anybody. But still, I want better wrestling. I want better storylines. I don't want to feel like everything has to tote a certain line in wrestling. And don't give me this holy shit or middle finger thing and then try to play it off that that wasn't planned and stuff. You know, just fucking say it. You know, you don't even need to tell us, but don't say that it wasn't planned. Because when you insult my intelligence like that, and again, this little tease on the words executive director, Google that again. I remind everyone, Google that. Tell me what you find in the entertainment world. In the entertainment world, find me how often you find executive director. Why make the play on words? Why not just full-blown use a term that everybody uses? Anyway, I'm out of here, everyone. It right now is 10:12. Kevin Castle is actually going to be doing Dark Chronicles literally in 3 minutes, which means that I have to save this, get it out of my program, and then get his ready because I have to record him. So everyone, enjoy the 4th. I will be back 2 weeks with your next Breakfast with Blasi. Ciao.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.